I'm Matt Schaefer Powell.
And I'm Jess Mador. Welcome to a special presentation of Truck Beat on 91.9 FM WUOT.
Okay, when I think of addiction, I think of it tearing families apart.
Sad.
Bad.
Drugs. Alcohol.
Drugs.
More than just drugs.
Video games.
Sex.
Weird addictions.
Addiction.
Sometimes illness.
To me.
When I think of addiction, I think of
being trapped.
Uncontrollable.
Something that takes over your life.
Controls your life.
When I think of addiction, I think of someone having a bad habit that they can't break.
No self-control and having no power over your actions.
No self-control.
Loss of control.
In 10 words or less, addiction is bondage.
Addiction has dominated headlines over the last few years. And here in East Tennessee, opioid addiction has spiraled out of control.
It's a familiar litany of suffering and hopelessness. Families torn apart, children growing up without parents.
Across the country, drug overdoses have overtaken traffic crashes as the number one cause of accidental death in America. And most of these overdose deaths have been linked to opiates, drugs including opioid prescription painkillers and heroin. But how did we get there? What's it like to be addicted to something, really addicted, when your addiction makes all the rules, where you go, who you hang out with, how you treat people, how you treat yourself? Whether you live or die.
On this special edition of Truck Beat, we'll bring you the story of one East Tennessee community that's fighting for its life as the opiate crisis tightens its grip.
We'll hear the voices of some of the people who fell into the opiate addiction trap, and from some of the people who've been trying to help them get out of it.
Members of the Roane County Sheriff's Department, the DA's office, and Roane County's new drug treatment court. People with happy families and good jobs who found themselves on the wrong side of the law after their addictions took hold.
We'll see how the opiate crisis looks in small-town Tennessee. It's a picture we're seeing in every city, every county, every small town across America.
We'll hear how opiates changed one East Tennessee father's life forever.
And we'll hear how the people of Roane County, Tennessee, are coming together to make a positive change. To show there is another side to the darkness and that recovery from opiate addiction is possible.
East Tennessee is in the crosshairs of the drug traffic. There's probably been more than 15 ton of drugs past I-40 here since we've started this interview.
Hello. Yeah. And seven children. The state trooper stopped to help them. And they found marijuana, cocaine in the baby's formula, okay? And they had a gun, okay? Okay, well, they are a flight risk and DCS is taking the children. It never stops, does it?
I developed a problem with opiates. It's kind of, everything just kind of spiraled out of control. I ended up losing pretty much everything I had. Lost my cars, lost my house, family split up, went to jail, lost my freedom.
I've seen people that have, they get stopped by law enforcement and they'll eat the pills and you're talking to them 1 minute and the next minute they're passed out.
I remove children from parents, I'm going to say on an average of probably five a week.
Everyone that works here is overwhelmed, and our jails are just running over.
Increased jail sentences hasn't been working. We've got more people in prison than any other country in the world, don't we?
We were just inundated with phone calls of people saying, we have huge drug issues, and you know, my son, my grandson, my granddaughter, my sister, you know, please, what can you do to help?
These people are on the streets. They have nowhere else to come but the jail. And coming to jail is not the answer for mental illness and drug addiction. Jail is not the answer for that.
This is the issue. This is what we have to deal with. And it's every day, almost all of our cases, because we're dealing with their way of life. And it's become our way of life, dealing with this.
The people that I talk to and encounter every day in my life, in my work world, are telling me a story that, but for the grace of God, could be my own. And I'm talking to those parents who are not so different than me. And
they're burying their kids. That's heart-wrenching. This cannot keep happening in our communities.
I wasn't trying to kill him. I shot him, but he died. And that was so catastrophic, and that's been 3.5 years ago, and I think about it every day, 1,000 times a day. What could I have done different? My son, Michael Brown, he always loved baseball. Michael was a very good baseball player. I was always his coach. Since he was in T-ball, since he was 5 years old. He and I would go to the baseball field and we would practice 2 to 3 times a week. He wanted to be a pitcher, so he graduated from high school. He went 1 year to Walter State Community College and was drafted by the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Michael had a genetic flaw in his arm that made his arm more prone to be loose. Michael ended up having 8 shoulder surgeries. And with each one of those, he was given, by the doctor, pain medication. He never could forgive himself for having that arm trouble. And that constantly was on him in depression. You know, I mean, he'd break down and cry. But when he got on the drugs, he got mean. He wanted to stop, but he told me he didn't know how. And I'd done everything I could. Rehab more than once, 3 or 4 times. So one Sunday afternoon, he comes with my car and runs through my garage door that's down and comes upstairs to fight me because I won't give more money. And he has knocks me down and he's choking me. And my granddaughter and my wife are there. So I'm afraid if I pass out and go out in his condition, what might he do? So I shot him with no intention to hurt him. I'm just trying to stop, but he died. My granddaughter, she knew what her daddy was doing. She just, you know what I mean? It's hard for an 11-year-old to comprehend and accept that. She wrote on her bedroom wall, "I love my daddy," and that's okay. Because I know she does. And she always will, and so will my wife, and so will I.
69,000 Tennesseans are addicted to opiates. I mean, that's huge. I'm Charlene Hipsher. I'm Executive Secretary to District Attorney General Russell Johnson. When you're just immersed in criminal court day after day, it changes your perspective. And a lot of times, you know, you look at each other at the end of the day and say, what in the world can we do about this mess?
Good morning.
Morning.
All right. So the way this is going to work, they'll have a counselor, they'll have a mentor, they'll be drug tested once a week.
I'm Dennis Humphrey, General Sessions Court Judge, starting up a new recovery court in Roane County, Tennessee.
There will be praises for their good behavior, for their progress, and we will encourage that. And for their inappropriate behavior, there will be sanctions. We're looking for the good of people. And with that,
in reality, you have to have prevention, recovery, and treatment to make it all work. And it just became very obvious that we needed recovery.
And then Mr. Bright.
Yes, sir.
All right, you overslept last week.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, now you can laugh about it, but that's not too funny. We were all here. We were here working and getting ready to do your case, and we prepared for it, and then that was kind of disappointing. Mm-hmm. But mistakes happen.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Probably they've gone to the point of thinking they've crossed the point of no return, that their life it will never go in a positive direction. So I think now they see there is a light at the end of the tunnel, that they can change things, and we're there to help them do that.
You've worked hard. You've made all your meetings this week, and so I compliment you for that.
Thank you.
All right, there's no reason why you all can't be our success stories, there's no reason why you can't be your own success story.
We've got the recovery coordinator behind us. We've got the DA behind us. We've got the judges behind us, you know. And when you've got people like that, that for the majority of my life have been locking me up, throwing me in jail, saying, you know, well, you need to do this or that. Now they're like, come on, you can do this. You know, they're actually getting behind us and pushing us and showing us that they believe in us.
I have the first job I've had in 7 years. You know, I'm working on getting my license back. I've passed 20 drug tests, and yeah.
Here's what was said about you. Good attitude, positive attitude. She's doing really good, okay? So we're proud of you.
Thank you.
All right, you've got some work scheduling problems.
It is a war on drugs, and you have to kind of have that war mentality of, I'm just gonna keep soldiering on, and whatever has to happen, but we've got to look out for the future of this community.
The DA's office, their job is to seek justice. Well, this is justice, but it's not just justice in the form of a conviction. It's making changes, making positive changes.
That was Roane County Recovery Court Judge Dennis Humphrey. We also heard from Charlene Hipsher of the DA's office, Roane County Sheriff Jack Stockton, Deputies Rick Baker and Tim Hahn, as well as Vince Brown, Ernie Bright, and Gabby West.
All year, the Truckbeat team has been documenting the challenges and the progress of Roane County's new drug treatment court. You can find videos, audio stories, and a lot of other pieces related to addiction and recovery at truckbeat.org or WUOT.org.
We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And don't forget, Truckbeat is also available as a podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes. I'm Matt Schaefer-Powell.
And I'm Jess Mador.
Truckbeat is a part of the East Tennessee Listening Project on WUOT, and it's brought to you by Finding America, a national initiative of the Association of Independents in Radio, with financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Wincote Foundation, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the National Endowment for the Arts, and the WUOT Lauren P. Murphy Endowment Fund.